Okay, we're starting chapter 40, which is 198.
Yeah.
And the English numbers at the bottom of the page. Okay, we're talking about mitzvahs having kavana, and this will lead us into, in the next chapter, love and fear, which is sort of where we're segueing now. So 40 is kind of like, this talks about kavana, it talks about love and fear. As though, with no further ado, the last thing that he said at the end was that a person should always learn something for the wrong reason. At least learn. If it's for the wrong reason, okay, no, it's for the wrong reason. But at least the person is learning, because like this, what will happen is they'll eventually come to do it for the right reason. Mm-hmm. And he said that what happens is that a person will realize that they did something wrong, because learning for the wrong reason is wrong. Mm-hmm. If a person is learning so that everybody can realize their greatness and what a Talmud Chacham they are,
yes,
that's wrong. But what happens is the person will learn enough, and he'll learn that that's eventually he'll learn that that's the wrong thing to do.
Right.
And so he'll do tshuva, and then when he does tshuva, and then what will happen is all that learning that he did for the wrong reason will now be elevated as though he had done it for the right reason. Yeah. So that's why it says you should always learn even for the wrong reason. Because from the wrong reason you'll come to, because when you come and you learn it back for the right reason, it'll be elevated. So he says, however, now, the whole time that a person doesn't go back and learn this thing, Lishma, Ein Lemudei Oila Afila Beyud Sfiris HaMe'oris Be'oila Ma'yisira V'Hasiyah. So that this Torah that this person learned for the wrong reason, Shelo Lishma, is not elevated. Actually, it says that if a person's learning for the wrong reason, his learning actually sinks into the realm of klippa and makes the forces of evil that much stronger. That's why it says, there's a Maamar Chazal, that the Torah is a Sam Chaim or a Sam Mavis. Yes. It's either a cure or a poison.
Poison. Right.
Depending on what the person's doing with it, but not to get scared. You said, take the poison in this case, even too.
Yeah.
But even though he's making the forces of evil stronger, because hopefully he'll be able to do tshuva.
Right.
And then, but as long as he hasn't done tshuva, so it's like anything else, it remains in the realm of klippa.
Right.
This is such a wonderful thing that tshuva is. It's such a tremendous gift that the Almighty has given us. When we're talking about teshuvah,
right.
Why is it that teshuvah is able to affect so much? I don't remember if we talked about this last week. Mitzvahs come from the Ratzon of Hashem. He's talked about this a zillion times before.
Mm.
In chapter 4, and chapter 6, and chapter 20, 23. He's talked about mitzvahs in chapter 35. He's talking about mitzvahs being the will of Hashem.
Mm.
Teshuvah, it's true, it's a mitzvah. The Rambam does count as one of the 248 commandments.
Mm.
But teshuvah is an expression of the Baal HaRatzayin, the one whose Ratzayin it is.
Yeah.
So whereas Ratzayin, Hashem's will, is an effect, teshuvah comes from the one who's doing the effecting.
Mm.
So it's a higher level of godliness. We did talk about this last week, yeah? Okay? Mm. So that's why teshuvah is able to affect that even when a person did something wrong and their action is feeding the forces of evil and making the world a worse place,
right.
Tshuva comes now and just cleans all that up.
Right.
Okay, and this is a tremendous gift that Hashem gave us, and it is listed, tshuva is listed as one of the 10 things that God created before the world.
Mm.
Knowing that the world was going to need it. So this learning that he did, doesn't he learn? He says, "Afilu b'yud sfiras ha'me'eres ba'olam yitzira v'asiyah." It doesn't. It's not elevated even to the world of formation and action. Ki hasfiras hein v'chinas elokus. Because as soon as you use the word sphere, the word sphere, he says, means elokus. It means godliness. There are different translations of the word sphere. There's like three or four of them, and if I have to list them, I know I'm going to miss one, you know, so it's the way I, whenever I have to list something, I don't, you know, this whole big thing with Perry and forgetting which one. Whenever I have to list three things, I always forget the last one. It's,
right.
And it's got nothing to do with adult moments. It's been that way since I was like 6 years old, right, when I couldn't remember the seventh dwarf. Anyway, so the word sphere means like a sphira in Hebrew. That word means like a, the word sphere comes from it, like a sphere of influence, like a realm. That's a sphere.
Right, right.
The word sapir.
Sapphire.
Sapir means to tell.
Aha, okay.
There's a conveyance. That's also. There's the word sapir meaning to shine, sapiri. Sapphires are called sapphires because they are sapiri, because they shine.
Shine, right, yeah.
Because you have this shining of godliness.
Right.
Okay, that's three so far, but I think there might be a fourth one, which I'm not remembering at this time, but I can just cover my bases and say there's only three. And
gotcha.
You wouldn't know the difference anyway.
Right, sure.
Okay. So each one, though, is indicating an expression of godliness.
Hmm.
And even, you're talking about in the world of Asiya, the world of action. If you're talking spiritual world of action, we live in the physical world of action, which is a different realm than the spiritual realm of action. Since you're talking spiritual, so spiritual is defined, what defines how spiritual something is how much godliness is it conveying. Now, the key word over there that we can underline and put in quotes is godliness. It's there. It's revealed.
Mm.
That's, you know, that's what determines this spiritual level. That's why even something like Malchus of Asiya Haruchnius, which is the very lowest level in the creation process, you're talking spiritual, is well beyond our grasp. Because we're limited by three dimensions, and that is not.
Right.
And as soon as we say no dimensions or beyond dimensions, or undimensional, we can't get there from here.
Yeah, we check out.
There's it's not there.
Right.
You with me? Yeah? Say no? I'll say something else or try and explain it again. Yeah? No? Mm-hmm. Okay. Don't be shy. Bashful people can't learn. That's what it says in Pirkei Avos. They ask a question, so then. And in those spheres, regardless of the level, the lowest level of spirituality is still connected with the infiniteness of Hashem. Is it truly infinite? Pardon?
No, Malchus, temple.
Even Malchus of Asiya Haruchnius, yes, is connected with the infiniteness of Hashem. It's brought in a note in chapter 6 that he says that even though it's only an expression of Malchus of Asiya, but inside Malchus of Asiya you have the 10 spheres of Yetzira, and inside the 10 spheres of Yetzira formation you have the 10 spheres of action. Inside the 10 spheres of action you have enclosed the 10 spheres of Atzilus, and inside Atzilus you have the essence of Hashem. So it comes out that even in the lowest sphere in spirituality you have contained the infiniteness of Hashem.
Right.
How is it manifest? It's manifest the way it's supposed to be manifest. It's the best I can say because I never saw it. So then he says that's all kedusha, and as if you're in that, that's the big leagues. You might say, listen, Atzilus, hey, that's like, you know, major league.
Right.
I got news for you. Once you've gotten something into at least the world of spiritual, and it's into a spiritual level, you're there. You did it already.
Yeah.
You know, you're in the game.
Hmm.
Okay? She says, Ubilai, now, Ubilai de Chilva Rachima, without fear and love, La Yuchla Lesalka Lemekim Kadam Hashem. We said this before last week,
right,
that without fear and love, he's not able to rise and to stand and come up before Hashem.
Right.
As he's going to say later on in this chapter, that, and then we said it, mentioned it before, that fear and love are called the wings of the bird.
Mm. Right.
The wings are not the essential part of the bird, but it's needed to fly.
Well, you know.
If you be a bird,
to be a bird,
to fly,
it'd be pretty tough to be without
them. Yes. Kamosha Kuzum, I'm going to let him explain. You have birds like ostriches, for example, but don't fly.
Right.
Okay? The wings there was, you know.
Dodo birds.
You know. Emus. So, Kamosha Kasta Bitikunim. Rak Limuda Oila Leheholus Umadurim Shehain Chatsenius Oilamas. He mentioned this before in chapter 38. Right. That the whatever he's been able to learn, because it's still learning. If the guy's learning, is he doing the mitzvah of learning?
Sure.
Yes. As long as a person is fulfilling the prescription of what the mitzvah is. Mm. That in order to learn, for example, fulfill the mitzvah of learning Torah, you have to articulate the words. And if it's Torah Shebal Peh, you have to understand what you're saying. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about into great, deep pill pulling and, you know, and deep analysis.
But at least understand
the words. What the words mean and the implication thereof.
Right.
So if a person did that, even if he's learning it for the wrong reason, so he did do a mitzvah. Hmm. Okay, so the mitzvah now, the effect of the mitzvah that he has, the word mitzvah means connected. So he's connected to Hashem, but he puts a GPS point on it. Okay, he says he only rises up to the Heichalus, which he said that's the external part of the sphere.
Right.
Which he explained back in what that is in chapter 38, which wasn't all that long ago. Shebehem Aimdim Hamalachim, that there you have angels. Judaism, especially in Kabbalah, the more you know, the less credence you give to angels. You read Bible stories, you read, you know, all the way from Adam and Chava all the way through through Malachim, through Kings too, and everybody's seeing angels over there. All through their prophetic vision, whatever, they all see the angels, and they think it's a big tadadam. It's like, you know, and we don't see angels nowadays, and angels are not really anything to get excited about. You know, we even see that there's the story with Shimshon's mother, for example. Okay, Aishas Manuach. She doesn't even get a name. Okay, she sees an angel, and the angel says, "You're going to have in a year, you're going to have a kid, and he's going to be a savior among the Jewish people, and you're not supposed to drink wine, and don't cut his hair, and don't let him drink wine, and he'll be back in a year." And she gets a little bit upset about what's going on over here. She goes to get her husband, and the husband comes and says, "What are you telling my wife over here?" And he says, "You ask her. I said it to her. It's enough. I'll repeat myself." Okay, so they realize that he's some kind of holy dude if he's saying that you're going to have a kid in a year.
Right.
Okay, not taking any kind of precursor from Abraham and Sarah when someone came and said you're going to have a kid in a year. It happened to be an angel. So they say, "Why don't you stay and eat something?" And he says, "I'm not hungry, I'm not going to eat anything," because he's not going to be, Avraham was at the level where the angels had to sit and eat. "You're going to argue with Abraham, even if you're an angel?" "I don't think so." So he told him, "Sit down and eat."
Yeah.
So they pretended to eat. Aishas Manoach was not at the level of Sarah. Manoach was not at the level of Abraham.
Right.
So the angel said, "I'm not eating." He says, "If you want, in honor of everything that just transpired, you can make a sacrifice." So they build an altar. This was before you were allowed to have personal altars. They build an offer. They offer up an animal. And in the flame, the angel jumps into the flame and rises up to heaven. Okay? And the guy, Manoach, he starts screaming, "We're going to die! We're going to die! Oh, we saw an angel! We're going to die!" Everybody, you know, see an angel, going
to
die. And she says, "If he wanted to kill us, he would have killed us. Instead, he told us I'm going to have a kid in a year. I'm not going to die." Like, hello? So she got it that angels really weren't, wasn't anything to get excited about.
Yeah.
And we start learning about Kabbalah. So angels aren't really anything to get excited about because the word malach means a messenger. So they're little messenger boys. And depending on whose prophecy you're learning, so you get a picture as to how the prophecy is conveyed. Whether you're talking about prophecy through Moshe, are you talking about through Yeshaya with the throne of glory? Are you talking about Ezekiel with his chariot going through the sky? Okay? The way it's explained in the Kabbalah, that an angel is basically nothing more than an on-off switch. We talked about this before? An angel is either bringing stuff down, godliness down, or it's elevating our accomplishments. So if it's in the down position, so godliness is coming down.
Right.
If it's in the up position, it's elevating whatever we've accomplished back to Hashem.
Right.
And I've maintained, and I've had rabbis take great umbrage with me, but since I'm the one who made it up, I get to say it over here, even on the tape, that had Ezekiel been alive today and would have seen this thing, he would have probably seen a motherboard with all the jumpers and the things going back and forth, because basically, malachim are binary. They're either one or two, they're either zero or one. They're either up or down. Okay? That's basically what a jumper is. It's either conveying this way or it's conveying that way. Yeah. You know anything about the insides of your computer? Very little. Okay.
That's it.
So it's either going up or it's going down.
Right.
Okay? It's either in the one position or the zero position. That's what angels are. Okay? Some people don't like the idea of me saying that Ezekiel would have seen a motherboard. But, you know, listen, you know, there's similar components. You know, there's copper and there's silicon and, you know, we can come up with all kinds of things over there. So, but... Because that's just he couldn't say 2,500 years ago, he said, I saw this thing that looked like a motherboard.
Yeah,
because he got enough trouble with just saying it looked like a bunch of animals flying through the sky.
Right.
And people thought he was nuts.
Yeah, so
he's going to start describing the insides of a computer 2,500 years ago. People are going to really think he's nuts.
Yeah, that's right.
And they're not even forget it. But there's nothing more to talk about. This guy is some kind of schizophrenic over here.
Yes.
So... So malachim occupy the external part of the sphere. It says in elsewhere, he quotes it in the Tanya, that malachim are a product of yichud neshikin, it's called. Yichud neshikin means a unity through kissing. That's the literal translation. And what it means is, in order for this messenger to work, it requires just an external expression of godliness. Just like a kiss. You give somebody a kiss, it's an external expression.
Right, okay.
Okay, there's a connection that's made when you give somebody a kiss. And that's about it. And you go on, Shalom al Yisrael. Okay, so that's what angels are. They're an external expression of godliness, and go weiter with life. So this person who is doing the learning for the wrong reason, okay, so he's doing a mitzvah. Which means it's coming connected to Hashem. But where is it going? It's going to this external external aspect of spirituality. He could be doing a whole lot better. Okay? It would be better if he was doing it just because. Because then it would be uniting him with the essence of Hashem. As he said back in chapter 5 and chapter 35 and 38. Okay? Better to learn for no reason. I'm learning just because. Good. That's wonderful. K'moshe kazer Rav Chaim Vital Zal B'Shar HaNevuah Perek Beis, as Rav Chaim Vital writes, which is he was the one who transcribes the teachings of the Arizal. Shema HaTorah Shelo B'Kavana Nivroim Malachim Be'Olam HaYitzira, that with Torah, which was said without intention, the angels are created. There are angels that are created in the world of formation. And mitzvahs, which are done without intention, creates angels in the world of action. What does that mean? Since it is that in order to do a mitzvah, you have to do an action. So it's measure for measure.
Yeah.
Since you did an action, so what you create is an angel, which the angel is this messenger, which is conveying your action in the world of action.
Right.
Learning Torah involves not an action.
Right.
There's a discussion, whole discussions in the Gemara and in the Rishonim, Achronim, whether to consider talking in action. What we get a conclusion is that Dibur Milsa Zuchasihi. Speech is a small action. It's not, it's sort of like, it's not really an action, but you are moving your lips.
So much trouble is caused with such small action.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. Okay? So, because of that, it's sort of like on a higher level than, say, moving your hands, moving your fingers, and indeed, animals move their feet.
Yeah.
People are the only ones who talk, so being able to speak, that we are classified in our own category of existences is called mina medaber, things, people who speak.
Right.
That's what this differentiates us from animals.
Right.
So that is on a higher level. So speaking words of Torah is a higher action than, say, putting on tefillin or lighting candles, etc., giving charity. That's why it's, if a person is just doing it stam without any feeling or not any type of reason or modality, so he's, it's going to rise to a higher level than his doing mitzvahs. V'kal malachim heim bali choymer v'tzura. And he says, all malachim, and I'm not really sure if he wants to say this in a positive or a negative, all angels have a form and image. What do angels look like? Well, it depends who's looking. If you ask Isaiah, well, they have a head, they have a body, they have a foot, they have six wings. If you ask Ezekiel, well, they have wheels, and there's they look like animals, and they have copper feet that spark, and you know, all kinds of weird things that go on. Okay? If you ask Moshe, who saw sandal phones, it looks like a flat shoe, this angel. You know, so it depends who you're asking and their perception of what it looks like. And it has a chaymer. Chaymer means a composition. Mm-hmm. What are angels comprised of? The elemental foundations of air, water, and fire. Okay, we can't do that. You can't replicate that in this this world of existence because fire is defined as fuel, air, and heat.
Right.
That causes combustion, which is fire. So you need to have some kind of something there, even though the flame itself has no mass.
Right.
But
there has to be some matter present.
It has to be some matter present.
Right.
Okay, so angels are not comprised of, we call it a chaymer, the word chaymer means matter, but it really, you'd have to translate it as composition. Because they're not comprised of matter. That's why if you ask an angel, what's the matter? He says, nothing. Okay, anyway, bad joke.
Bad.
Okay, anyway, so the...
don't take it on the road yet.
Keep my day job. So, anyway, so the point being, says this is that any angel, he's creating an angel. Yeah. And it is there's a body to it, there's a form to it. He's doing something. There is some kind of accomplishment in his learning and in his mitzvahs. Mm. Okay? As it says, a person who does one mitzvah is kind of praklit echad. A person who does a mitzvah acquires a defender. What's the defender?
The mitzvah.
The mitzvah itself. You know, you say this relates to the Yeshkar mitzvah. The reward of the mitzvah is the mitzvah, that the reward of being connected to Hashem is that you're connected to Hashem.
Right.
So the mitzvah itself, because what has happened is the person has connected them to themselves to Hashem.
Right.
So now they have a defense against something else.
Against Satracha, against...
Against the forces of evil, and etc., yeah. Okay, you do enough mitzvahs. That's why in Hasidus, the real emphasis is on doing mitzvahs and doing the right thing. Because if you emphasize, do the right thing all the time... And we focus on doing the right thing all the time. The best defense is a good offense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're not going to have this. The Alter Rebbe in the entire book, the whole thing from page 2 all the way to page whatever, all the way to the back of the book, the word Gehenna appears twice. He's not into it. One time in a note and one time as a side point.
Yeah.
Okay, we're not into that... that whole genre of...
Like a fire and a ledge ass?
Nah, not us.
Yeah.
It's not, doesn't, you know... It doesn't get us excited, you know? You tell a Jew you're going to burn in hell, and he says, hey, I'll see you there too, buddy. I mean, you know, so it doesn't grab our attention. So why talk about it? Emphasize the positive. Do the right thing all the time. You won't have to worry about the other stuff. But you got to do the right thing all the time.
Aha.
That's all.
Just all the time.
Just all the time.
Just
yes.
I'm glad there's only a small qualifier.
But he says, "Avolteder shalei lishma mamish kigain liyes tamid chacham v'kigavna." But Torah for the wrong reason. For example, that he wants to be a Talmud Chacham.
Yes.
Or something similar to that. He wants people to see how great he is, what a good learner he is. Look how much diligence I have in sitting and learning Torah.
Yes.
Just the idea of looking at me. Okay, or the...
Here's my camera, take pictures.
The line was actually the a pun for you grammarians there. That the last year that a bachur is a bachur when he's already thinking about getting married, so we say that the person is learning lishmach with a mapik hay. Lishmach with a mapik hay means for her sake. If he's, everybody sees, oh, what a good bachur he is, well, yeah, hopefully he'll get a better shidduch. So what is he learning for? He's learning to get a better shidduch.
Right, right.
Okay, that's learning lishmach with a at the end of it. Okay, it was one of those rabbinic puns. You know, we rabbis, we're real knee slappers. He says, it says it's for the wrong reason. Sorry. It doesn't get elevated. Is he doing something wrong? He's learning. Okay, but for him it's a poison. And it's not, it doesn't create any angels over there. It doesn't rise up to the either the external attributes of the spheroids. It only remains down here in this physical world, that this world is called the realm of klippa, the realm of evil. Even though in every single...
Is it considered a nevera? The reason I'm asking you is because I
can't say that, no.
Yeah, because I thought it says with Perkei Avos, if Averas, you create an accusing angel.
I wouldn't give the guy Shlishi for it. I mean, you know,
right.
So.
Yeah, okay.
It's not a transgression, no, because he's doing the good thing for the wrong reason.
So this may be the one of those one times where it could be gray. In the world of black and white, this might be gray.
Well, he says it stays here. It doesn't sink.
Yeah.
It's elevatable because all he has to do is just go back and learn it lishma afterwards,
right. Okay.
And it comes right back up again.
All right. Okay.
So, but we're talking about every realm, how it has a realm of klippa in it.
Right. Okay.
Even the world of Atzilus, which is all the world of emanation is its defined godliness. This is God's wisdom and God's understanding and God's kindness and God's constraint. Okay, when we say God's Rahmanah, so where's the klippa there?
Yeah,
where's
hard
evil
for me
there?
To imagine that, yeah.
And at the end of Parshas Vayera,
yeah,
there is a list of the progeny of Avraham's brother.
Nahor.
So that we wind
Nahor,
up, Nahor,
yeah.
So that we wind up eventually getting to Rivka.
Yeah.
Okay, because Rivka gets born. Okay, that's a good thing. But there's a pusik after that. The pusik doesn't say, Ubasul al Nailad, Nailadas as Rivka. No, it doesn't do that. It's got a whole nother pusik over there, another two pusik and whatever.
Yeah.
And it says that Basul had a Pelegish, a concubine, Ushamar Ruuma. And her name was Ruuma, and she had these four kids.
Right, okay.
Okay? What does Ruuma mean? Ruuma is related to the word Chachma. Like the same two letters at the end. What's Chachma? Chachma, the Alter Rebbe defines as the Kayachma, the potential of what could be, the flash of inspiration, the beginning germ of the creation process. What's Ru'uma? If you break it into component parts, Ru'u, we'll see, Ma, what will be. We'll see what's going to be of this. That already is an expression of Klippa. Let's see what this is going to be. There's nothing there yet. It's still a potential.
Right.
But just the fact that we're going to say, okay, you know, I want to see what's going to happen here now, is already an the tone there is one that's going the wrong way.
Yeah.
So even in the world of Atzilus, the world of emanation, you have the potential for klippa.
I see. Okay.
And it's very possible that a person doing the wrong thing in a very high manifest way is going to just detach himself to klippa in the world of Atzilus too.
Ouch.
You know, so, ouch. Yeah, so close yet so far.
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
I've often wondered, you know, this is an aside, and I've never seen anybody talk about it.
Though.
They, You have Yochanan Kohen Gadol.
Yeah.
Was Yehuda Maccabee's grandfather.
Right. Okay.
Was Kohen Gadol for 80 years.
Mm.
He became Kohen Gadol when he was 40.
Right.
and he was Kohen Gadol till he was 120.
20, right.
That means that he went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim 240 times. There's three times a year that he would go in, all on Yom Kippur. Three times on Yom Kippur he would go in.
Right, okay.
Okay? We're not going to go into the order of Seder Yom Kippur right now.
Right.
But he had to walk into Kodesh HaKadoshim three times each Yom Kippur.
Right.
And we know that if a person wasn't proper, that he would die when he walked into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And there were years that they would go through three high priests in one Yom Kippur, because they would walk in, the guy would drop dead, they would pull him out, they would point somebody else, he would drop dead, they'd pull him out, they would pull somebody in, and he would drop dead too.
Okay?
Because these people were not proper to be high priest. So he's walked in and walked out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim 240 times.
Where there's no
he's a 120-year-old man.
Right.
Okay? I can imagine that he's not exactly running wind sprints at 120.
Not exactly.
That's running very fast, for those who don't know. And I ran a wind sprint once and said, I'm not doing this again. That's not, anybody wants, you know, if I got to get there quicker, it's just going to take me a couple seconds longer. I'm you know, there's no reason for me to be running faster.
That's why God made buses.
Yes, exactly. You know, so I am not getting there any quicker. So anyway, so the last year of his life, he apostatized. He gave up, he became, at that time there weren't Christians yet, but he joined the Baisusim and the Sadducees and gave up the oral tradition and said that the rabbis were making it all up.
Yeah.
Okay, so now what happened with the 240 times that he went into Kodesh HaKadoshim? I hope something good happened.
Nothing changed. You know, he went there and they stayed. They're there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what he did was up till that point. Yeah. Now what happened the last year of his life? How bad did he actually fall in that spiritual realm now? Okay, is it all go after the end?
Mm-mm.
You know, maybe yeah, maybe not. I mean, you know, we can take always wondering the news that hits the day. You have Joe Paterno gets fired. 409 victories.
Mm. Who cares now?
Yeah, what does it do? They take his name off of plaques. He's going to go down to the guy who didn't turn the guy in to the cops. That's what he's going to be known for.
Right.
He should have retired 20 years beforehand. He would have been better. You know, this is how people are going to know Jopa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because everything goes according to the last term.
That's
so
right.
Yochanan Kohen Gadol Havdil. So how is he looked at? He went in 240 times, holds maybe the record for going into Kodesh HaKadoshim.
Right.
And I don't know if there are any other Kohanim Gadolim that were Kohen Gadolim for 80 years. In Bayis Rishon, we have a list of who they were in Bayis Rishon, because they're mentioned in Nach. But in Bayis Sheni, it doesn't say who was what, but we know that there are over 300 Kohanim Gadolim, and it's the place of Midrash only 420 years. If you take out the 80 years that he was Kohen Gadol, and the 20 years that his son was Matisyahu, and the 14 years that Ezra was Kohen Gadol, and the 12 years that, who was the last one? Rabbi Elezer was the last one? Elezer Kohen Gadol? The one who was a martyr. We read about in Yom Kippur. He was 12 years. So if you add those guys up, that doesn't leave a whole lot of space for other people of those 300.
Yeah.
You know, so what kind of Olam Haba does Yochanan have? I'm plugging that he should have a big one, you know, just. Anyway. We're going to do the note. Umashikas bezoyer chelik gimel daf lamed aleph amid beis daf chaf aleph amid beis. If you want to look it over there, Ayin Sham, he says, look over there. And generally the rule is when the Rebbe would say something, he really meant it. So right now, at this point, I should be going to get my Zohar and we should be looking this up.
Yes.
But I'm not going to.
Uh-huh.
And I've never actually had a class that where anybody actually did look it up and said, well, this is what it's over there, because he quotes it over here. Ahu milis salke ubaka rakian. It says those words actually pierce through the heavens. Atav mar detoya, and whatever happens, happens. Itav tav. If it's good, then it's good. Ayin sham daf kofei, amen aleph. Mila deraisa I avid mine kala. The words of the Torah create a voice. To turn the page and turn it back. Visalk, and it goes up. The voice, the sounds of the Torah and prayer pierce the heavens. Okay? So they would see then, like I wanted to say before, that there's something happening that is, a person is learning at least. He is learning Torah. It's God's will and wisdom that he's learning. If he's learning it for the wrong reason, it's still better than comic books.
You got that right.
Okay. And according to what he says in chapter 8, it's for sure better than philosophy books.
Yeah.
So it's going to have something positive to it, which is why we have that statement. Right. Learn for the wrong reason, please.
Yeah.
You know, eventually you'll grow up and you'll get over yourself and don't want everybody to look at you and see what a great guy you are.
Yeah.
Back inside, we flip the page back to where we left off by the little star. The Shlomo HaMelech wrote three books. Yes. He wrote Shir HaShirim when he was young and enthusiastic. Mm-hmm. And so therefore it's this whole, everything's great, and I've got my love, and she's so beautiful. And he wrote Proverbs, mm-hmm. which when he was sort of like middle-aged and very pragmatic about things, mm-hmm. And Eishes Chayil Miyimso, what truly is a woman of valor? Is the thing, he's not looking sheker achein, beauty is vanity, that kind of stuff over there. But then, in his end of his age, his old age, when he was a skeptic, so he wrote Kohelis, Ecclesiastes. And that's, you know, hevel, vanity of vanities, it's all vanities.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing good over here in the world, it's terrible.
Yeah.
Okay, so he writes there. It says, what good is there to the man in all of his work that he's worked under the sun?
Yes.
That's the question that Solomon says. It's all futile, right? So now, what kind of amal is Shlomo HaMelech talking about? Da afilo amala b'raisa. It says that a person has to toil in Torah. What is that going to accomplish? Iyav began yekidu. Okay? What's he going to be accomplishing there? If he's doing it for the wrong, that's why it says tachas hashemesh. All the work that a person did under the sun. Under the sun seems like very universal because we happen to live with the sun above our heads. Okay, if you want to see, if you were to take a look out and step out from space, you would see that we're not actually under the sun per se, but we're orbiting around the sun. But to us, the sun is always on top of us. So under the sun means within the confines of the Seder Histalshus, within the confines of nature. So if a person's learning Torah in such a way, you're right. What did he accomplish? But if a person's learning the right way, so then he's higher than the sun. He's achieving higher than Seder Histalshulis. All a person has to do is say, you know, I'm learning this because it's really the right thing to do, and I'd like to establish a love and fear relationship with Hashem, and this is the way I'm going to do it. And so now he's not tachas Hashemesh anymore. He's not under the sun. And indeed, there are zillions upon zillions of stories of the ways which Jews are able to work in the world and supersede it because we relate to Shem Hashem and not to Shem Elohim. Our connection to God supersedes nature. Just by the mere fact that a person can pay their bills if they're only working 6 days a week shows that we are not confined to the laws of nature. You're laughing because you don't pay your bills, I mean, you know, so... Confined to the laws of nature. We're not confined to the laws of nature.
Yeah.
We work 6 days and we're successful, not 7 days.
Gotcha.
Because we're not under the sun. We're above the sun. That's why it says, lucky is the person who comes to hear. Hear meaning the Garden of Eden after they pass away. And his learning is in his hand. Meaning that he didn't leave it behind. Most of the stuff that you're going to all of the stuff that you're going to accumulate in the course of your lifetime, you're not taking with you. What are we taking with us? We're taking our Torah and our Ma'asim Tovim.
Yeah.
That's what we're taking with us.
Yeah.
Heaven help me.
Okay, so that's why he says, hopefully. That's what that line means. Hopefully, you take your learning with you.
Yeah.
Because if a person learned for the wrong reason,
sure.
They're not letting that kind of Torah into Gan Eden. Because what's happening in Gan Eden is that a person benefits from all the good that they did in this world. It says that the garments that they're wearing are the mitzvahs, that they can enjoy more radiance from Hashem, and the food that they're eating is the Torah that they learned. And since they're not letting this Torah into the realm of Gan Eden, the Garden of Eden, so this guy's going to have very little to eat.
Yeah. Slim.
Okay. I think we will stop here. We're at the first wide line. To be continued.